7, the book of Daniel, and chapter number 11. Continuing through in our series in Daniel, and titled the message, The Antichrist and the Apostasy. When we get to Daniel chapter 11, a number of things get revealed to us, and we're going to look at those this morning. Daniel chapter 11 and verse 1, I'll begin reading. The Bible says, Also, I, in the first year of Darius the Mede, even I, stood to confirm and to strengthen him. And now will I show thee the truth. And this is the angel speaking to Daniel, by the way, continuing from chapter 10. He says, Behold, there shall stand up yet three kings in Persia, and the fourth shall be far richer than they all. And by his strength, through his riches, he shall stir up all against the realm of Greece. And a mighty king shall stand up that shall rule with great dominion and do according to his will. And when he shall stand up, his kingdom shall be broken and shall be divided toward the four winds of heaven, and not to his posterity, nor according to his dominion which he ruled. For his kingdom shall be plucked up even for others beside those. And the king of the south shall be strong, and one of his princes, and he shall be strong above him and have dominion. His dominion shall be a great dominion, and in the end of years they shall join themselves together, for the king's daughter of the south shall come to the king of the north to make an agreement. But she shall not retain the power of the arm, neither shall he stand nor his arm, but she shall be given up, and they that brought her, and he that begat her, and he that strengthened her in these times. But out of a branch of her roots shall one stand up in his estate, which shall come in with an army, and shall enter into the fortress of the king of the north, and shall deal against them, and shall prevail. And shall also carry captives into Egypt, their gods, with their princes, and with their precious vessels of silver and of gold. And he shall continue more years than the king of the north. So the king of the south shall come into his kingdom, and shall return into his own land. But his sons shall be stirred up, and shall assemble a multitude of great forces. And one shall certainly come and overflow and pass through. Then shall he return and be stirred up even to his fortress. And the king of the south shall be moved with choler and shall come forth and fight with him, even with the king of the north. And he shall set forth a great multitude, but the multitude shall be given into his hand. And when he hath taken away the multitude, his heart shall be lifted up, and he shall cast down many 10,000s, but he shall not be strengthened by it. For the king of the north shall return and shall set forth a multitude greater than the former, and shall certainly come after certain years with a great army and with much riches. And in those times there shall many stand up against the king of the south. Also the robbers of thy people shall exalt themselves to establish the vision, but they shall fall. So the king of the north shall come and cast up a mount and take the most fenced cities, and the arms of the south shall not withstand, neither his chosen people, neither shall there be any strength to withstand. But he that cometh against him shall do according to his own will, and none shall stand before him, and he shall stand in the glorious land, which by his hand shall be consumed. He shall also set his face to enter with the strength of his whole kingdom, and upright ones with him. Thus shall he do. And he shall give him the daughter of women, corrupting her, but she shall not stand on his side, neither be for him. After this shall he turn his face unto the isles, and shall take many. But a prince for his own behalf shall cause the reproach offered by him to cease. Without his own reproach he shall cause it to turn upon him. Then he shall turn his face toward the fort of his own land. But he shall stumble and fall and not be found. Then shall stand up in his estate a raiser of taxes in the glory of the kingdom. But within few days he shall be destroyed, neither in anger nor in battle. And in his estate shall stand up a vile person, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. And with the arms of a flood shall they be overthrown from before him, and shall be broken, yea, also the prince of the covenant. And after the league made with him, he shall work deceitfully, for he shall come up and shall become strong with a small people. He shall enter peaceably even upon the fattest places of the province, and he shall do that which his fathers have not done, nor his fathers' fathers. He shall scatter among them the prey and spoil and riches, yea, and he shall forecast his devices against the strongholds, even for a time. And he shall stir up his power and his courage against the king of the south with a great army, And the king of the south shall be stirred up to battle with a very great and mighty army, but he shall not stand, for they shall forecast devices against him. Yea, they that feed of the portion of his meat shall destroy him, and his army shall overflow, and many shall fall down slain. And both these kings' hearts shall be to do mischief, and they shall speak lies at one table, but it shall not prosper, for yet the end shall be at the time appointed. Then shall he return into his land with great riches, and his heart shall be against the holy covenant. And he shall do exploits and return to his own land. At the time appointed he shall return and come toward the south, but it shall not be as the former or as the latter. For the ships of Chittim shall come against him. Therefore he shall be grieved and return and have indignation against the holy covenant. So shall he do. He shall even return and have intelligence with them that forsake the holy covenant. And arms shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And they that understand among the people shall instruct many. Yet they shall fall by the sword and by flame, by captivity and by spoil many days. Now when they shall fall, they shall be helping with a little help, but many shall cleave to them with flatteries. And some of them of understanding shall fall to try them and to purge and to make them white even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all. But in his estate shall he honor the God of forces, and a God of whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver and with precious stones and pleasant things. Thus shall he do in the most strongholds with a strange God, whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory. And he shall cause them to rule over many, and shall divide the land for gain. And at the time of the end shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind with chariots and with horsemen and with many ships. And he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over. He shall enter also into the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown. But these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom and Moab and the chief of the children of Ammon. He shall stretch forth his hand also upon the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. But he shall have power over the treasures of gold and of silver, and over all the precious things of Egypt. And the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall be at his steps. But tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go forth with great fury to destroy, and utterly to make away many. And he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain. Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. Now, again, Daniel is a book of prophecy written at a time where these things had not yet taken place. Historically, when we look back, we see how these things happened after the book of Daniel was written. Now, that's if you believe the Bible, because there are many that look at the Bible and say, there's no way this type of accuracy could have been written before it happened. It's a choice. I almost titled the message this morning, Believe It or Not, because really that's what it boils down to. You either believe it and you accept it as God's truth, or you don't. But when we look back and we look particularly at this chapter, what we can see is that the chapter is discussing that after Cyrus, there are three more kings that will arise in Persia. I'm just going to summarize briefly before getting into the meat of the message. The fourth of those kings will be Xerxes the first, who is mentioned in the book of Esther. He's named Ahasuerus. Alexander the Great is also referred to, and the dividing of his kingdom into four. Verses 5 through 20 of Daniel chapter 11 describe the fighting between the Egyptians and the Syrians, two of Alexander the Great's generals after Alexander the Great passed away. And then Antiochus Epiphanes, who is a type of the Antichrist, is prominent in Daniel 11 from verses 21 through verse 35. And in verse 36, through the end of the chapter, give us, I believe, a glimpse at the coming apostasy and the setting up of the Antichrist. If we look in our Bibles in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, Scripture tells us, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 3 also say, now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. And then also in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 9, the Bible says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, the Bible says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. I mentioned this morning during Sunday school that my goal as a pastor, my goal as a preacher, is not for people to walk out of here and say, man, what a rockin' service we had. Wasn't that place just lit up like nothing you've ever seen before? Didn't we all just have a really great time? And not that I don't want you to enjoy yourself or have a good time. My goal is the same as what you would expect if you were to go into a restaurant to pay for a meal, that you leave fed spiritually. If the message and the focus is not Christ, to me, it's pointless. Why meet together? Why have a service? Why not have a fellowship? Why not have a social club? The focus should always be Christ, because eternity is at stake. Yet the Bible tells us that in the last days, the Bible says again, 2 Timothy 4, 3, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, people don't want to hear about sin. People don't want to hear about God's truth. People don't want the knowledge of the truth. They just want to be told that they're okay, you know, that sin is fine. We'll learn to adapt to your sin. And sadly, more and more, that's what churches are doing. Rather than sticking to the truth of God's word, they're capitulating on things that God has stated are clearly sin and sinful activities. Now again, I'm not saying that we should be unkind or hateful in the way that we approach other people in sin, because their struggle is not your struggle, just like your struggle is not my struggle. We all struggle in different areas in our lives. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none of us in here that are perfect. Yet, hopefully, you're here because you recognize that you need to be instructed in the Word of God, to have a right relationship with Him, to have a walk that pleases Him, to have a life that exemplifies His love and His forgiveness and His grace. But the Bible says clearly there are people that will turn from that. They will turn from sound doctrine, and they'll get to themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, those that won't point out sin, those that won't reveal God's truth. And one of the saddest comments that I've heard from recent people, I'm not going to specify any further, but people who have visited other churches, and by the way, we have people, you know, through our military and even, you know, residents who visit here, and they're looking for a church, and I understand that, I get that, especially military, you're trying to find a church that that you can be a part of, and one that preaches God's truth, hopefully, or one that, you know, you can minister in. But one of the comments that I've heard recently, and more than once, from people who have visited other churches, and they said, you know, it's okay, it's good, it's great, the kids enjoy it, but they never say it. And I'm like, what do you mean they never say it? They never say it. Say what? They never say that Jesus is the way of salvation. That saddens me as a preacher. Why would you meet together for a service and not talk about Jesus? Why would you not share with people that their need for salvation is only going to come through a right relationship and a faith and trust solely upon the one who died for our sin? That doesn't make sense to me. But then I read in Scripture, and the Bible says that many will reject sound doctrine. Many will reject God's truth. Many would rather just sit and be told, well, it's okay. If you want to act that way, if you want to do that, that's fine. We'll adapt. You know, we won't judge. By the way, I'm not a judge, but I can read God's commandments, and God will judge one day. And I can warn people that there is a judgment coming, and you better know Christ. You better be right with Him. When we look at Daniel chapter 11, one of the first things that sticks out to me is the contrast. When we see this Antichrist being revealed, beginning in verse number 36. Let's turn there. In Daniel 11, verse 36, the Bible says, "And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined shall be done." In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, as I read earlier, the Bible says, "Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." The Bible calls this person the man of sin in 2 Thessalonians. Let's look in Isaiah chapter 53, if you would. In Daniel chapter 11, we see the prophecy of the Antichrist, the man of sin. In Isaiah 53, we see the prophecy of the Messiah, the Christ. In Isaiah 53, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief." Isn't it interesting when you read about Jesus and his arrival? The Bible calls him a man of sorrows. When you read about the Antichrist, the Bible calls him a man of sin. You know what? We're to be sorry for our sin. The reason Jesus was a man of sorrows wasn't because he was sorrowful over sin, his sin. He was sorrowful over the sin of the world, what he would die for, what he would go all the way to Calvary and be nailed to a cross for. We see the contrast between the man of sorrows and the man of sin. We see the contrast between one who surrenders himself versus one who magnifies himself. The Bible says that the Antichrist will be one that exalts himself. He will go to the glorious land, that's Jerusalem. And he'll exalt himself, he'll sit upon a throne and magnify himself. But Jesus didn't do that. The Bible tells us that Jesus humbled himself. Not only did he humble himself, he surrendered himself. He told them they wouldn't have had any power at all. But what God gave to them. He didn't have to go to the cross. He didn't have to submit to being tortured and crucified. But he humbled himself. And he surrendered himself. What a contrast when you see Jesus being described in the Antichrist. We see the contrast also of one who is stretched out on a cross, whose hands are pierced for us, versus one who stretches out his hands to attack and to overthrow. There could be no greater contrast between Jesus, the Messiah, the true Christ, and the man of sin, the Antichrist. Yet the Bible gives us a picture, describes for us in detail, and yet there will still be those who are deceived. Why? Because they have refused sound doctrine. They've rejected God's word. In studying for this message, I was reading about those that don't believe that Daniel chapter 11 was a prophecy that was written in Daniel's time before these events happened. And really what it boils down to is just a flat-out rejection of the Bible. Again, you cannot pick and choose which parts of the Bible you'd like to obey or listen to. It's either all true and it's all God's word, or none of it is. It blows my mind to hear people who try to pick and choose from the Bible and yet say that, you know, Jesus is still the way of salvation. Well, how can you make that claim? It's either God's word, and he's the Savior, or none of it's true. You can't have it both ways. Yet they'll be deceived. The Antichrist will come in. By the way, when the rapture takes place, when Christians are all gone, it's going to be pretty easy for the Antichrist to deceive those that never wanted to hear the gospel, those that never wanted to accept or receive God's word to begin with. Don't think it'll be a hard thing for the Antichrist to deceive people into setting himself up as God. But what a contrast. Not only do we see the contrast, but we see the coming conflict. Hold your place in Daniel 11. Go with me to Matthew chapter 24. In Matthew chapter 24 and beginning in verse number 3, the Bible says this, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. We see it in the world already today, this conflict. And by the way, the Bible is very clear. It doesn't get better. It gets worse. Now, that doesn't mean that revival is not possible. That doesn't mean that salvation is not possible. What it means is that the conflict is going to continue. There rages a spiritual battle today already, and it will manifest itself one day through the Antichrist, who will sow destruction like has never before been seen. There's a conflict today, and the conflict is over the souls of men. The Bible says in verse 12, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. If we're going to have a love for souls, what we need to do is be willing to share with them God's truth. And that, yes, there is a conflict. Yes, it's okay that you struggle in your sin. But guess what? Christ still died for that sin. He still loves you. He'll save you. He'll give you a new heart. He'll give you a new life. But they won't know that if we don't tell them. There are people that are hurting today. There are people that are struggling. There are people in spiritual conflict, and they don't understand. And they want acceptance. They want their sin to not be called out as sin. They want to be just accepted as they are. But the Bible says that it's sin. So what are we to do? Sadly, even believers have taken the position that, well, rather than cause conflict, rather than cause hurt, we'll just be accepting. Listen, there's already conflict. There's already hurt. The love that you supposedly are giving to that person is not a true love. I've said it before and I'll say it again. If I have a friend and we talk about sports and we get along great and we talk about families and the weather and work and everything else, and there's never a spiritual discussion. There's never a question of, do you know Christ? That's not a real friend. Because we've never discussed the thing that's most important in life, which is eternity. How can I say that I love somebody? How can I say that I care about somebody when I don't even care whether or not they go to heaven or hell? The Bible says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. See, by being accepting of sin, by being tolerant, what we're really doing is saying our love is growing cold. Because iniquity is abounding. And by the way, iniquity is just sin. Rather than calling it sin and saying, hey, I love you, but that's sin. I care about you. But Jesus died for that sin. And it's okay if you're struggling. It's okay if you're hurting. But take it to Jesus. Humble yourself. I'll pray with you. I'll pray for you. I still care about you. But if you don't get that right with God, you're going to stand in judgment. By the way, that goes for all of us. Thank God, though, if you've put your faith in Christ, the difference is there'll be one standing with you. The Lamb of God, the Bible says, which taketh away the sin of the world. Boy, if you don't know Christ, if you've never put your faith and trust in Him, if you don't see the conflict, if you don't understand the spiritual battle that's raging, and even more so as the day of the Lord's return approaches, We need to be careful. There's conflict over the souls of men. In many minds and hearts, the devil is working to deceive and to discourage. His purpose and his plan is to deceive those who are in unbelief, those that do not have faith in Christ, those that don't know his truth. The devil's plan is to deceive them into thinking, you're not a bad person. You're okay. To deceive their minds and their hearts into believing that they don't need Christ. Satan's plan is also to discourage those who would share the truth. He's deceiving those that are in unbelief. He's discouraging those that know the truth from sharing the truth, from being a testimony, from being a witness for God. Listen, I get it. I understand. It's coworkers, people you are on the job with each and every day. It's neighbors, people that you see frequently and often. Sometimes it's family members, people who you love deeply. But if you don't love them enough to tell them the truth, what is your love really but waxing cold? If somebody was headed into a situation that was extremely dangerous and perhaps fatal, and you said that you love that person, wouldn't you warn them? Wouldn't you tell them? Why wouldn't you tell them what the Bible says about eternity? The reason is because there's a conflict. And there's a conflict over the souls of men. The devil wants to deceive those that are in unbelief. And he wants to discourage those who know the truth from sharing his truth. In Daniel 11, we see the contrast between the Antichrist and the Messiah, Jesus Christ. We see the conflict, the spiritual battle that rages more and more. But we also see the conclusion. Verse 45 of Daniel chapter 11, the Bible says this. It says, "And he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain. Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him." One day it'll all be over. Not just our life on this earth, but it will all be over. Wickedness will be no more. Evil will have no more power. Sin will cease. But that's not going to happen until these other things happen. In Revelation chapter 19, the Bible says this, beginning in verse 11 of Revelation 19, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Christ is coming back. He's going to make an end. He's going to make an end of all sin and evil and wickedness in the world. He's going to make an end of the Antichrist and the devil and his followers. Like I said at the beginning, I almost titled the message, Believe It or Not. It's really what it boils down to. It's God's word. We simply understand and believe that he's going to fulfill his promises, that he's going to come back, that he's going to make an end. Or we don't. We refuse, we reject it, and we live our lives the way we believe is best. By the way, there are people in the world that the world would call good people, and they're living what you would call a good life. They're kind to people, they're generous, but they don't know Christ. Their mindset is that I'm a good person. Why wouldn't I go to heaven? Well, the Bible says that we're all sinners and we've all come short. It doesn't matter how anybody appears on the outside. The Bible says that the Lord looks on the heart. And if we don't have a heart that knows Christ and has accepted his forgiveness of sin and his way of salvation, not our way of salvation, then the Bible says we'll be separated forever. Why? Because we made a choice not to believe. We made a choice to reject what God's word says. You say, well, that sounds kind of harsh. Listen, I said at the beginning, there's coming a judgment. I'm not the judge. But I'm pointing to the one who is. You might think that you're a good person. You might think that you have good traits and good attributes, and perhaps you do. But without Christ, I'm telling you, there's none righteous, what God's word says. There's none. Doesn't matter who your parents were. Doesn't matter what you know. Doesn't matter what your position is. Doesn't matter how much you give. Doesn't matter how much you go to church. What matters is, do you know Christ? And if you know Christ, are you willing to share Christ? Or has the devil been discouraging you? Has he been trying to keep you from being a testimony and a witness to somebody in your life? I understand. It's difficult. But think about yourself before you got saved. Think about your life before you knew Christ. Aren't you glad somebody said something? Even if you didn't want to hear it, even if you didn't like it the first time, aren't you glad somebody was willing to just be honest and to tell you the truth, to share God's truth about salvation? You know what that's called? It's called love. Being willing to tell somebody, even though you know it might upset them or hurt their feelings because of the way that they're living. Again, not going in with the purpose and the intent of making them angry, but letting them know that because of God's love for you and God's love for them, that you're willing to tell them the truth, to share with them the gospel, God's plan of salvation. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Doesn't matter what your plans are. Doesn't matter what way you think is right. Doesn't matter how you plan on making it to heaven. If it's not through Christ, there's nobody that makes it. But thank God. Thank God that there's such a contrast between who Christ was and who the Antichrist will be. Thank God that Jesus surrendered himself to Calvary. Thank God that he acquainted himself with our sorrows and our griefs. Thank God that he knows each and every hurt. And thank God that he heals and he cares and he saves. Daniel chapter 11 is a prophetic book, a prophetic chapter. It deals with things that hadn't happened yet in Daniel's time. Some of those things we look back and we see those have already taken place. But some of those things have yet to take place. What does that mean? There's still time. If you're here in this room, there's still time. If you've never put your faith and trust in Christ, there's still time. If there's somebody that the Lord's laid on your heart to share the message of Christ, to share the gospel with, there's still time. We don't know when the Lord will return. But we've been given more time. So what are you going to do with that time? We don't know. Do you know somebody that's passed? Do you know somebody that's gone on to be with the Lord? That you weren't sure of whether or not they knew Christ? I know I do. I know that there are people that I know who have stepped out into eternity that I've witnessed to, that I've given the gospel to, that did not make a profession of faith. And I know that there are people that have stepped out into eternity that I was not a witness to. That perhaps I had an opportunity to be. Right now, though, there's still time. What are we doing with that time? Are we seeking to have Christ be magnified in and through our lives? To allow him to have his way by being yielded and surrendered the way Christ was, by humbling ourselves as Christ humbled himself. Doesn't mean that we can be Christ. We're not to elevate ourselves to be a false prophet, but we can be Christ-like. We can be Christian, which means Christ follower. We can share Christ. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes as we consider the message in Daniel of this contrast between Christ and the Antichrist, one who will come and who will deceive many, one who doesn't care about your eternity, your salvation, one who cares only about himself. What a contrast between the Antichrist and who Christ was. Constantly healing. Constantly forgiving. Constantly ministering to the souls that he came into contact with. People that stood in direct opposition to him. People that couldn't stand to get to him. Jesus came to where they were. And he healed. And he proclaimed truth. There are people that are hurting around us. And maybe they can't get to where Christ is. Maybe they're stuck. Maybe they're in conflict. And they're hurting. Can we be like Christ? Can we go to where they are? Can we meet them where they are? And speak the truth in love? It doesn't mean ignoring their sin. It doesn't mean going along with sin. What it means is telling them the truth. Hey, God cares. And the reason that I'm telling you is because I care. The Bible says, because of iniquity abounding, the love of many shall wax cold. But the Bible also says, where iniquity abounded, grace did much more abound. You know what God wants to do in your heart and in my life? He wants His grace to abound, so that others can know His truth, so that others can receive His salvation and forgiveness. How about it, church? Are we praying for His return? Are we praying for an end to all the wickedness and all the sin and the evil in the world? Christ is returning. He'll make it right one day. But until then, there's still time. May God give us the boldness to be a witness and a testimony for Him. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word and we thank You for its power. Lord, thank You for the truth. Though it's painful at times, Lord, it gives us the right instruction. It gives us the proper way of salvation. It gives us the right way of living. It gives us the understanding that there's a judgment coming. Lord, help us to live in obedience to Your word. Help us to humble and submit ourselves to You. Lord, if there's any that are here that aren't saved, Lord, may they put their faith and trust in You even today. May they decide to believe in Christ. Lord, help us in this contrast, in this conflict that rages, this spiritual battle, Lord, that's all around us. Help us to stand strong for You. And we'll give You the praise and thanks for all You do. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. We'll stand to our feet as we sing a hymn of